Okay, so we've been playing with this file for a long time now through a lot of etudes, and I think we could even do more. We haven't done the radio drama. We haven't done too much of a dialogue about it. I mean, we heard a little bit of that, but it seems like if we sat down with 10 more people, we could think of 10 more kinds of sound writing to put this book into. I mean, the possibilities are really endless. I mean, what would even happen if we played every single one of these at the same time?
Well, Kyle, I am glad you asked. Here is what it sounds like if we take all of this audio information that we made during the etudes and play it in a single file.
Wow, we talked earlier about how you can identify separate layers in audio files, but I guess you can kind of push past that too. I mean, I heard little bits here and there of the other etudes, but after a while, it just kind of turns into noise.
It does. But if you think about reading as an archaeological undertaking, looking at different layers and refocusing your attention in different directions at different times, I think listening to all of this noise does give us some more of that metaphor than is possible when reading with the eyes. So no, we don't want to use everything at the same time. We don't want to listen to it, at least. There's not a lot of value there. But I think we've covered quite a lot of possibilities to give people different ideas on how to get started using different types of sound manipulation.
Yeah, and remember that point we heard earlier in the Lit Review section from Rhett Comp scholars like Steph Sarasso, Katie Fargo Ahern, Aaron Anderson, that there really is a lot more to sound and sonic pedagogies than simply recording speech. All the ways we manipulate sound are worthy of our investigation and our play.
Yeah. Now that we've played around, what do you think about that question we posed way back at the beginning of this introduction?
We posed a question? I mean, that was a really long time ago.
It was, and we did. See, I even have a recording of it, which, of course, that's one thing audio is really good for.
Yeah, I think we're really going to have to dig further in if we're going to understand what's happening here.
Before we'll be able to say if reciting words alone is or is not sound writing.
See, we were talking about what sound writing is and isn't, and part of what we asked was the question of how much you had to do to a recording to make it count.
Oh yeah, totally. I don't know, it sounds almost like the wrong question now, doesn't it? We've heard so many things that you could do with sound, and all of them I'd call sound writing.
I would too. So maybe instead of saying exactly what does and doesn't count as sound writing, we can say something about what sound writing lets you do and what it invites you to try.
Yes, sound writing as invitational. Sound writing as a chance to use the available means of sound recording, collecting, and editing to make something new.
Yeah, that's sound writing. It's when you manipulate recorded sound and make something new from it.
And that is as good a place as any to end.
Thank you for listening to the introduction. Kyle, Courtney, and me, Robot John, would like to thank everyone whose voices and sounds were heard in this introduction: Eric Detweiler, Will Burdett, Stanley D. Harrison, Mika Rager, Stephen Cross, Caitlin Patterson, Kevin Putman, Emily Bloom, Jennifer Bowie, Randy Alfred, Steph Sarasso, Katie Fargo Ahern, Jonathan Danforth, Edward Gaynor, Karen Lunsford's niece and nephew Kalen and Jacob, the workers of Amazon's Mechanical Turk, the Sesame Street Kids, Lauren Mayberry, Mark Blauhera, as well as the scholars, content creators, and coders whose work we cited throughout. Please see our references page for full bibliographical information. What about me, Kyle and Courtney? You forgot to thank me. Maybe you don't love me after all.
Thanks, Robot John.
I am so happy. Yeah, sound writing.